Coming up, an extremely wide monitor, a camera that thinks it's a phone, or is it a phone that thinks it's a camera, and a new way to measure your heart rate. From your belly button, it's time to watch before you buy.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Before You Buy is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com.
Before You Buy is brought to you by Stamps.com. Use Stamps.com to buy and print real U.S. postage the instant you need it right from your desk. To get this special offer, go to Stamps.com now. Click on the microphone and enter Before You Buy. And by Hulu Plus. Hulu Plus lets you binge on thousands of hit shows anytime, anywhere on your TV, PC, smartphone, or tablet. Visit HuluPlus.com/BeforeYouBuy to start your free 2-week trial.
Hello, my friends. Time to watch Before You Buy, the show where we take all the latest and greatest products, dole them out one by one to our fine TWiT staff, and get their take on what it's like to really live with these devices. We've got some great reviews for you this week, kicking things off with Mr. Patrick Delahanty, Santa Delahanty, we call him. He is our in-house programmer.
Yes.
Is that what you do?
Yeah.
Because I don't really understand what you do.
Internal web projects lately.
Yeah. And you have the world's smallest office. Used to be my wardrobe.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It has a window.
What? The door.
Yeah, the door.
Yeah, when they leave the door open, you can see outside the door. Anyway, we love having you here. Patrick moved all the way out from Boston. You're glad you're here. This is your first winter out west.
This is winter?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was still fall.
I know. It's awesome, isn't it?
Yeah.
Actually, technically it is. So, why things... has been around for a while. British company, I think. I got their Why Things scale. It was the first Wi-Fi scale a couple of years ago.
Yes.
In fact, it has its own Twitter account. It tweeted my weight until I stopped using it. they also make a blood pressure monitor, which I've reviewed and love. But they have something new, the Why Things Pulse. This is a crowded category.
Yeah. Well, actually, I had reviewed the Why Things scale a few months ago.
Yeah.
But I gave it a don't buy because it broke.
Well, that's not it. But you're very fat.
Not really.
No.
I am overweight. But,
No. If it could take
that's
me,
not
it
why
could
it
take
broke.
You.
There was a hardware fault, and so it they
now,
replaced
it's hard
it.
To review something that's broken.
Yeah. And so they replaced it, and I loved it before it broke, and I've been loving the replacement.
So that's fine.
Yeah. And that actually interfaces with the same app on my iPhone that the Why Things Pulse
does.
So
all the Why Things stuff interfaces. They even have a baby monitor that interfaces.
Yeah, I don't need that anytime soon.
Well, I never know.
But I tried out the Why Things Pulse, and this is a pedometer, a heart rate monitor, and it monitors my sleep.
So this is interesting because it does the other guys one better. I mean, the Fitbit Flex, the Jawbone Up, the Nike Fuel Band, they all measure steps. Some of them measure height. This measures your heart rate, too. I think that's interesting.
Yeah. So I can hit the heart here.
Yeah. Do you have to wear a chest band like you would with a polar watch? Or?
On the back, it's got these little lights.
And I see. You thumb it. You thumb it.
And it turned off. Hold on.
So it doesn't measure it continuously. It only measures it when you specifically say measure
it. Yes. And it does have a belt clip here, which I can put this on my belt to measure my steps and how far I walk each day.
Right.
And it has this... wristband.
That'd be for sleep, probably.
Yeah, this is, I wear this when I sleep.
Right.
So it's still measuring the heart rate.
Does your wristband get sweaty at all?
Sometimes if I have it too tight, it gets sweaty. And I have noticed that over time it's, I've only had this, what,
probably
3 weeks?
Washable,
all right,
though,
I didn't
get
it probably because I'm at an odd angle. But it's a bit stretched out and... the Velcro part here is getting a little bit pulled because it's been used for
my biggest problem with sleep monitors is just they annoy me. I don't want to wear a band on my wrist.
And so this doesn't get in my way.
You
a
don't
lot.
Mind it.
Yeah. But there have been two nights where it's fallen off.
Right.
And so it says, you only slept for 2 hours. Well, no.
Until I fell off of you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it has given me a lot of insight into my sleep. When I use the iPhone app, I can see my sleep patterns. So if I look here last night... that's the week view. If I go into the day.
So it shows you very much like all the others, deep sleep, wakeful sleep, and then wide awake.
Yeah, so I got 86% of the recommended 8 hours and a lot of
tossing and turning.
Tossing and turning, yeah. Which has been happening for quite a while.
yeah, I get that, too.
A couple times where I woke up over the weekend, but...
Sarah Lane is the only person I've ever met who has none of that tossing and turning, but I think it's because she's dead drunk, passed out. I can't understand. She's the only person I've ever seen. It's just like, it's blue, dark blue the whole time. I don't think she was wearing it. That's what I think. I think she took it off, put it on the bedstand, and it looked like she had moved. Because everybody tosses and turns a little bit.
Now, this also tracks my steps. So if I view, it can view by nice. Hour of day. Yeah.
Pretty accurate. You're a tall drink of water. Is it
worked
pretty
well
for you?
Yeah, it seems to be. And I actually... Over Thanksgiving, I went with my family to Universal Islands of Adventure in Animal Kingdom. And so if I go back a couple
That's
weeks,
very,
you can see
nice for you. Yeah.
There's a lot of steps on those days.
Oh, yeah, look, yeah.
It was something like 7 miles. So
running
it was interesting
those lions.
To see that we dragged my 9-year-old niece along for a 7-mile hike that day.
Had you tried any of these other bands of any kind?
I've done just a normal pedometer,
right?
And but that just tells you what you did that day, and then unless you write it down,
right.
There's no way to really track it.
What's nice is if you use the Y Things scale, the Y Things blood pressure monitor, the Y Things whatever it's called, what's it called? Tracker?
The pulse?
Pulse.
Yes.
Then you have on your app, but also on the website, you have every bit of this kind of information.
Yeah.
It's kind of revealing. It's interesting.
So
the
scale is tracking my weight, and this is, it's all tracking in the same app. So it's handy to see. And I'm
pros and cons on this.
The pros, it measures sleep, walking, and heart rate.
Mm-hmm.
And it even does the heart rate while I sleep. So I don't
Wait
have
a minute.
To hold me.
While you're sleeping, it knows your heart rate because it's on
your
wrist.
There's a hole in the back of the wristband.
So it does continuous monitoring
so
of your heart.
So if I don't hold it up to my finger.
So what's your heart rate like when you sleep? Does it go up? Go down?
Goes down.
Yeah.
Yeah. But also, I love the app tracking. That's a definite pro because I can go back in my history and see what it has been. And the battery life is amazing. I've let it go over a week and haven't had to charge it.
It's awesome.
And I think it was the weekend before last was the last time I charged it. And it just came up today on my phone with a warning saying 20% battery life remaining.
It's excellent.
So,
any cons, any negatives?
For the cons, when I first got this, I always had the constant feeling I'd lost it.
Right.
I'd reach down, it's there.
Yeah.
Because it's just so lightweight and you don't notice it's there. So really, that's kind of a pro.
Can you put it in your bra? Did you try that?
No, my girlfriend did not try that.
Okay. Because some of those trackers, I'll be honest with you, it's easy to lose something hooked on your belt. It really is. I've lost more Fitbits that way.
Yeah, so when it's in here, and you can get...
Is it pretty secure?
Color. Yeah, it's actually hard to get onto my belt because it's like a rubbery sort of material. So it'll stay put. Yeah,
okay.
It's not just plastic that'll slip off.
Right.
Also, the other con is that this strap is just kind of
cheesy,
flimsy.
Yeah.
It if it's too tight, it does get a little sweaty, and then it just seems to wear out fairly quickly.
Plus, you look like you're wearing a giant orange Band-Aid.
Yeah.
To bed.
Well, it's hard to see on the camera, but it's like that fuzz after you've pulled the Velcro quite a while.
Yeah.
And but all in all, I love this. It's $99.95, but I would give it a buy.
All right. This is a crowded category, but it does have one thing that nothing else does, that heart rate monitor. I think that's kind of cool.
And just as an update to the scale, I know I gave that a don't buy last time.
Now you like it?
I'm going to buy one.
Awesome.
And I hope my father's not watching because he's getting it for Christmas.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, I have had a Y Things scale. Never broke on me after 2 years, and I am a big fat guy, so I can vouch for it. Very nice. A definite buy on the Y Things Pulse, yet another fitness tracker, but this one does something a little bit different than the other ones. Tony Wang did a review of, I can't figure this out, there are more versions of the Samsung Galaxy S4. You know, you've got the active version, you've got the giant version, you've got the little bitty version, and now... It's a Galaxy S4 Zoom. Is it a camera or is it a phone? Let's find out.
Hey, everybody. Tony here from Twit. And before you buy, and today, actually, all this week, I'll be spending time with Samsung Galaxy S4 Zoom. And we'll see how this performs compared to its ancestor, previous model, the Samsung Galaxy camera. So far, first day I've had this, day one, It's been pretty good. This is much better designed. Samsung really stepped it up in the plastic and the finish on the plastic that they finished, you know, they picked for this phone. It's definitely closer, as the name suggests, to the Galaxy S4 Zoom. This is a miniature Galaxy S4, 4.3-inch display. Unfortunately, it's QHD, so it's not 720 or 1080, which is unfortunate, but it is AMOLED. So it's sort of a last-generation display technology. Other than that, the hardware is also Galaxy S3 processor and RAM and stuff. The zoom suggests optical zoom, which is great. It does 10x optical from 24mm, I think up to 290 or something crazy like that. This is intruding on point-and-shoot territory. I got optical zoom, and really like the ring. If you're just playing around with the camera, and you just turn, when you're on the home screen, you just turn the ring, it automatically brings up all these different preset modes that you can use. So that's really nifty. Except I like to turn the ring a lot when I'm just playing with the phone, so half of the time I'm on the home screen and this thing keeps on popping up. Optical image stabilization is great. I was able to take some quick video while I was driving. I don't recommend that, but pretty good. The shape is something that takes a while to get used to. If you thought the bump on the Nokia was too big, just try it. Just go home, grab one of your point and shoot, and pretend it's a cell phone and use that for a couple minutes, and you'll realize this thing gets in the way of everything. Except you can use it as a kickstand, I've noticed. You can put the phone down on a table in landscape mode, and you can watch videos that way. Pros and cons of the Galaxy S4 Zoom. 10x optical zoom. You can't find this anywhere else for Android phones. Another pro is the compact size. If you're looking for a phone that's only 4.3 inches, this is the phone for you. Con is that the resolution is not as high for the display as I like it to be. It's less than a million pixel. Another con is that the lens is not as fast as I like it to be compared to other camera phones. So buy, try, or don't buy, this is a little bit complicated. If you're shooting a lot of outdoor events where you require a lot of zoom, then this is the phone for you. If you're shooting a lot of indoor subjects with low light situation, this is not the camera for you. I'm talking for Twitter before you buy, and this is the Samsung Galaxy S4 Zoom.
I feel like we're watching The Shining day one, Tony. And then by day five, he's lost it completely. Actually, it sounds to me that that's more of a camera than a phone, or a camera with some phone capabilities, or better yet, an internet always-on connected camera. Thank you, Tony Wang, our editor-in-chief. We're going to take a break. We've got lots more to look at, including a monitor that's wider than your screen right now. So I don't know how we're going to shoot this, but we'll find a way. But first, a reminder that today and for the rest of the week and next week, too, the post office is going to be a zoo as people make last-minute purchases of stamps. They mail those packages. If mailing is part of your day-to-day business, you do not want to go to the post office. I promise you, what you want to do is go to stamps.com right now and save time. Print your own U.S. postage. You don't need a special printer. You don't need special ink. Just your computer, your printer, no postage meter, no ink, and stamps.com. And by the way, you do need ink, just not special ink. Stamps.com will give you this free USB scale so you can weigh your postage, your letters, or your packages. Always have exactly the right postage. Never have to worry about postage rates. They're automatically updated at stamps.com. And you get discounts you cannot get at the post office on Priority Mail, on Priority Express. It is a great deal. Stamps.com will take care of all the forms for international mail, certified mail. They even email the recipient with a tracking number. I just think Stamps.com is amazing. And if you are a seller on eBay or Etsy or Amazon or PayPal, if you use QuickBooks, Stamps.com is going to save you a lot of time. It automatically fills in the recipient's address and name, checks it against the postal database. Stamps.com is an amazing thing. You ought to have it. And you can have it right now with our no-risk trial offer. When you visit Stamps.com, click the radio microphone in the upper right-hand corner. Enter our offer code before you buy, all one word, and you get a $110 bonus offer, including $55 in free postage coupons to use over the first few months of your Stamps.com account. You'll also get that USB scale I mentioned, just to pay postage and handling, a $5 kit with the supplies you need, and of course, you get a month free of Stamps.com. Cancel at any time in that first month. Pay nothing. Your scale is yours to keep. Stamps.com. You got to try it. Please use the offer code before you buy. We like T-Mobile. They call themselves the Un-carrier. They've got great plans, contract-free. But sometimes I feel like they don't have all the latest and greatest phones. We're always looking for a great T-Mobile phone. This is the LG Optimus. Now, this isn't the G2 Optimus.
It is not. This Shannon one Morse is here. Called the LG Optimus F6.
The F6.
Ooh, so pretty.
It's confusing, though, because they're all called Optima.
They're all letters and numbers. It gets very confusing very quick.
This is more mid-range than the
this
G2.
This is a mid-range phone. It's a... You can kind of tell from the plastic back on it
it's
and the plastic
thick.
Front. It's very small. It's not as big as some of the...
Do you have rodents glued to your hand?
I might have hamsters on
my
hands.
Okay, just checking.
Maybe. Just nice. Maybe. That's my Festivus
thing? Okay. Is that a thing, gluing festivity. Things to your hand?
That's my festivity for today.
Okay. Just
my
checking.
Nails don't look good, so I put these on
look
here
at those.
Here, look at these.
Yes,
don't
she has presents
nails.
On her lips.
That's definitely a buy right there.
It's a buy. No. So, the LG Optimus F6, this is a $288 phone, but
oh,
you
that's
can
very
also
cheap.
Get it. Yeah, it's very
that's,
cheap.
That's out the door.
That's out
off
the
contract.
Door, so
okay.
Off contract. But if you do want to get in on contract, it's free for a 2-year contract.
All right.
So totally good price. It's an interesting phone in the fact that it is a little bit smaller. It's still on Jelly Bean, and it has a dual-core 1.2 gigahertz CPU on the inside. Of course, it has all of the nice capabilities like LTE, Bluetooth, NFC. It comes with 1 gig of RAM, and it has a pretty decent processor in it. I didn't notice a lot of issues with that whenever I was switching around with apps and things like that. But it does have 4 gigs of onboard memory.
What?
Although, when you go into the settings...
How can you even use 4 gigs? Don't your apps just fill it right up?
Yeah, this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
So you go into the settings... Total space, 1.27 gigs.
Oh, man.
1.27.
Okay,
that's
so this is for people who don't
left.
Install a lot of apps or
isn't
want to put
crazy?
Music on there. Yeah,
I know.
That's not much.
Now, if you wanted to expand it, it does on the back, and you can take off the back, which is nice. So you can change out the battery if you need to. It has a nice lithium-ion battery back here, and you can also do up to 32 gigs of extra storage on a little micro SD card if you wanted to. The battery right here lasts a good 19 hours for talk time, so...
Wow.
Really, really good battery.
19 hours talk time?
I was very impressed with
the
battery.
You'd have to be a chatty Cathy to use that.
Oh, I know, right? So I got pretty close to that when I was just, you know, doing a lot of browsing, playing on video games and playing on Facebook and stuff like that. So I can definitely attest to that nice battery.
Good deal.
On this guy. Call quality is pretty average for T-Mobile. Not too bad at all. I didn't get any drops. You can do Wi-Fi calling, which is pretty cool. That's pretty... new and interesting with T-Mobile. The camera on this is a little bit different, though. So there is a front camera. There's also a back camera, and the back one has a flash, of course. And I'll show you a couple of photos that I took on here previously. Let me get back to my main page. There's my camera. So I took a couple of pictures. So this is the front cam. It's okay. It's very grainy.
It turned you into an anime character, which I think is...
Yeah, so I'm an
kind
anime
of, is that
character.
The anime
surprise.
Filter? Yeah.
Surprise.
Your eyes, are they that big, really?
Yeah.
Wow. Galaxy eyes.
Sorry,
wow.
One megapixel front cam. The back camera on this is 5 megapixels, so I took a couple of photos. You can tell even in...
turned him into
in
Pikachu.
Lighting,
that's great.
Even in decent lighting, it gets very grainy. It's very low light, and at 5 megapixels, honestly, it's a pretty bad camera, so I can't attest to that. Okay. It's not that great. I did take some videos on this. They say it can do 720p video, and the speakers on this are pretty tinny as well. So I'm going to hold this up to my microphone so you can hear it.
What are you doing?
It's very tinny.
Editing what?
Dogecoins.
You're working?
Don't look. Oh, God.
Victor, what are you doing?
Very tinny. Yeah. It even sounds like it's trying really hard whenever you're listening to the speaker.
It almost sounds like it's breaking up, yeah.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. So the speakers are not that great, although it does get very loud. The display on this is only 4.5 inches, so it is nice if you have smaller hands. Like if you're a kid or something like that, or a young person, definitely really nice if you need a smaller phone. It has a 960 by 540 pixel display, and it's really lightweight. I was actually impressed by that. It's less than 5 ounces. Mm. So you could just toss it at somebody and they probably wouldn't feel it because it's like a feather. So my pros and cons on this, I'll go ahead and get into those. Great battery life on it. I really like the battery life, and it's low cost. I mean, you can get it for free on T-Mobile. So that's pretty cool. On the con side, though, really, really low internal memory. So honestly, if you're going to download any applications at all, or you're going to take any pictures, you should probably have a micro SD card if you really, really want to use it. You also notice that it does have a pretty cluttered skin as far as, you know, going into the settings and things like that. It has that LG skin all over the place. Mm. So it's not that noticeable on the main page, but it is when you start getting into some of the applications and whatnot. So it's kind of, ugh, I don't like the skin. And it does have that tinny speaker. I'm not a big fan of that either. So I gave it a
mid-range phone.
It's mid-range. Yeah. You know, I would say if you need a second phone, or if your phone breaks, your normal one, this would be a good idea to have on the back end if you need an extra phone around. Or
what do you
if
think of LG's customizations to Android? Are they okay?
They're okay. I mean, they don't go nuts with a whole bunch of bloatware, but at the same time, it's just, I like
it's not
stock
pure Android.
I like stock Android. That's why I always buy the Nexus phones, because those are so pretty and they're good. They're fast. I would give this a don't buy. Mm. It's just, I don't know.
You can get a Moto G, which is pretty close to a Moto X for $100 less.
Yes, that's true.
So you don't do it.
The Moto G is an excellent option.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yep. Don't buy.
All right. Don't buy on the LG Optimus F6. Thank you, Shannon Morse, our producer. And now it will hurt if you throw it. So that's good. That's a pro. Put that in the pro column. Yeah. Radford Castro is here. He's our director of engineering, and he has brought with him a little laptop, and I mean little. It's a pretty little laptop.
Yes,
this is from Asus, the ZenBook.
The ZenBook, the UX301.
Okay.
This is actually they only have two lines, the lower line and the high line, and that's it.
This is high end.
This is actually the lower end.
What?
Yes, this is the i5.
All right.
It runs an i5, but the resolution is off the wall. It's 1560 by 1440.
For an 11-inch screen?
Yeah, for 13.3.
13-inch screen.
Yeah. So it's pretty impressive, I mean, considering all that it does right here. So, but design-wise, looking at it right now as an Ultrabook, it's pretty clean.
2560.
Yeah, 2560.
I thought you said 1560. 2560 by 1440. Okay, oh, good. Oh, yeah. For 13, that's great.
Yeah. So it has a nice little brush aluminum here. Let's see.
Ooh, pretty. Yeah. Asus does a great job. Yeah, this reminds me a little of those Transformers.
You got this swirly brushed aluminum look, or beautiful. Nickel look.
Is it glass top? Or?
Yeah. This logo actually lights up. And if I open it up, you'll see it light up. There you go. Well, you probably won't be able to see
it. Nice
that much.
Ad for Asus. Yeah.
It's a nice little ad.
Yeah.
Keep it up. and let me show you the profile a little bit. It's actually pretty nice. It's really nice and thin.
This is an Ultrabook,
it's definitely an Ultrabook. Yeah. And this thing weighs about 3 pounds.
Wow, it's beautiful.
So, yeah, it's really clean. You're looking at something, you have a couple of things going on here on this side. You got the microphone, headphone jack, and a couple of USB ports. On this side, you have the DCN. And on this side, let me show you the side real quick. This is the SD card and some other stuff, the 3.0, USB 3.0, as well as some power stuff. So, but it's your typical, ports that you'd expect to see from an Ultrabook. You're not going to have things like a DVD drive and any of that stuff. You know, it's meant for on-the-go sort of thing. It's a mobile Ultrabook here. And so here's the display.
It's
definitely
nice
touch.
Display.
You know, it's a really nice display.
Yeah.
So I'm going to enter my password in here. Do not look.
Do not look. Burke very thoughtfully put his hand in front of the camera.
So here you go. I'll show you the display again. Yeah, this is a very snappy and responsive, speed at an i5. And this is running at 2560. So, of course, you're expecting something pretty snappy.
That is a high-res display.
Yeah, it's really high-res. Now, what really surprises me about this is the performance. But before we get into that, let me show you a little bit on the marks that it got on 3D Marks. So I'm just going to hit photos here. So this is the rating that it got on 3D Mark. I don't know if you could see that, but this is just right above a couple of the ultralight notebooks that are out there. It's scoring 1862 above a 1667. So it's just slightly better than a lot of the ultralight light notebooks that are out there right now. But when you're actually playing the games, it's really not that bad. We know it can do stuff like, you know, the spreadsheets and Microsoft Office and all the other good stuff. But let me just run something. And this is an app that just came out. Let me just see if I can run it. I'd have to go this way because I don't know any other way to navigate to it. This is Despicable Me Minion Rush. And I'm going to just run this thing so you can see how this thing performs. It's
so
really,
this is a little lower DPI than a Retina, but it's as high as an Acer S7, for instance, which would be a comparable.
Yes, it's slightly less than a Retina.
Yeah.
But, I mean, just performance-wise, on an Intel integrated card and on an i5, it runs clean.
This is Iris Graphics.
Yes. Yeah. And then you got a couple of things going for it. It's obviously running SSDs. You can actually do RAID setups on it.
SSDs, you said, too?
Yeah, so you have, this one has a single one, and then on the top, upper end, you can have two SSDs.
Okay,
yeah. To have 512. This one actually has, it's actually the lower of the ones. It actually has 128 gigabytes on this one. So it's, you're going to run out of space pretty quick if you're going to get this one. And mind you, this is $1,799 in terms of price.
Ooh. Yeah. So it's expensive for an i5 with 128 gig hard drive. 4 gigs of RAM?
Eight.
All right.
So at least it gets that.
Yeah.
And then you have a couple of things. The nice thing, though, it has a nice keyboard and it's backlit. So I don't know if you can see that.
I mean, this is an ultralight. For something as small as this, this is still pretty good.
Yeah, it's a clean-looking keyboard.
It's just pricey.
And thank you for the lights there. Wow. Well, you won't be able to see it that way. But if I angle it just a bit, you could definitely see the light coming from an
leaking
angle.
Leaking around.
Yes. Yeah. So it's pretty clean. In terms of its design, I mean, it's a no-nonsense design. The speakers, you might want to hear just a little bit. I'm going to go ahead and go into the desktop.
And we'll, of course, have to give you our opinion since you're not going to hear at home the rich, deep sound coming out of those tiny speakers.
Take this out of mute. Pretty sure John will appreciate this soundtrack. This is a great test soundtrack for this kind of stuff.
It's got some bass.
Yeah. But check this out. While I'm running this, one of the things that Asus does have, let me turn this down so you guys can hear me. It's actually pretty clean. Asus has this thing called Audio Wizard. So I'm going to show that to you again. Here's Audio Wizard. And it has a couple of stuff here, like music mode and movies mode. And you have these controls that allow you to change the max bass and the max treble. So this allows you to mess around with Bang & Olufsen's Ice Power. And you can hear some bass. Now, when you heard the speakers, they sounded kind of tinny, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of expected from an ultrabook.
Yeah.
But when you plug in you know, your headphone or into an external speaker,
that's what this is for, right?
That's exactly what it's for. Yeah. I mean, you're trying to push the audio, you're trying to push the amplifier into that sort of thing, and it works well. It sounds good. You guys are going to just have to trust me on that, but for the most part, it sounds good. But just from the speakers from here, the stock speakers that it comes with, it's not so great. It's
no, you can't.
In a famous word, tinny.
Yeah,
right.
You can't make a silk purse out of a sow's ear, as my mom used to say.
So aside from that, the battery life is actually pretty good. You know, this is using Haswell, so it's pushing about 5 to 7 hours. And of course, on Windows Pro, I'm actually running several things at the same time, and this is all running in performance. So here's some more performance demos. This is actually running in real time. This is Dungeon Hunter 4, which was just recently released for Windows 8. And it's pretty clean, I mean, the way it's running. So
pros and cons.
That's pros and cons. Well, it has great performance for an i5. This is at 1560 by 1440. It's extremely sharp display, and it's versatile and lightweight. On the con side, the graphics card could be a little bit better. I'm hoping to see, like, NVIDIA. If you're paying this kind of money, you want to have GeForce inside, right? The other thing, too, is it has a mini HDMI, so the cables will kind of be... are kind of hard to find if you're trying to use a mini HDMI. And it's pricey. That's the other big con. So at the very end, I'm going to give this a try. It's almost a buy. But if you see this thing on sale, it's definitely worth a buy. But right now, it's a try.
Yeah, it is. $1,800.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money. I think you buy it because it looks good, right?
Yeah.
It's really the looks that you're buying.
Yeah, you're definitely getting some bragging rights.
Yeah.
So
Radford Castro, the Asus ZenBook UX301LA, the latest ultralight from Asus. Thank you, Radford.
Thank you.
Our show today, coming up in just a little bit, I've got a very wide monitor. Padre is here with that. And I'm going to show you the latest Micro Four Thirds wonder from Olympus. But first, you see this? That's Hulu Plus. I turn it sideways, you can see it also. That's Hulu Plus on my iPad. Hulu Plus turns the iPad into the best personal television set ever. You can catch up on episodes of current TV shows that you've missed. I always like to watch The Family Guy on Hulu Plus. You can also see shows that you never saw at all, entire episodes of things like Lost and Community and Star Trek, all on here, all $7.99 a month. Binge on your favorite TV shows. Catch up on shows that are on right now that you've missed. They also even have Hulu Plus documentary features. Here, I'll just show you how good the quality of the video is. Hulu Plus documentary features like Behind the Mask, which is their docudrama series that takes you inside the world of sport mascots. And The Wrong Man's. Aw, Hulu's proud to support Charity Water. I love that. We won't show the iPad ad. We'll just skip that right now. You don't want to watch that. You'll also get access to ad-free movies for the kids. Kids content, too. Actually, grown-ups and kids for the ad-free movies. $7.99 a month. But since the holidays are here, I think this might be a good time to take advantage of our special offer by visiting HuluPlus.com/beforeyoubuy. HuluPlus.com/beforeyoubuy. And you'll get 2 weeks free of Hulu Plus. Unlimited viewing. That's twice the normal offer. So please do use our offer code, HuluPlus.com. I can almost sing along with Peter and what's her name? Can't remember. Doris?
Lois.
Lois. Lois. Thank you. It seems today that I'm sorry. Before you, HuluPlus.com/beforeyoubuy. Try it today. We thank Hulu Plus so much for their support and for giving me lots of things to watch on my iPad. I'm going to take a walk now. I'm going to take my Hulu Plus and my iPad along with me to go visit Robert Ballister. Father Robert is the host of This Week in Enterprise Tech, which you can see every Monday on our show. He's also the co-host of Know How with Iaz Akhtar, which you can see every Thursday. And soon, Coding 101, our programming show. Father Robert.
Good to see you, Leo.
Looks like you ran over your laptop.
I did. Well, I had to flatten it out. Got an iron, a techno iron, so that I could show you this.
This seems like there's something really wrong
with it. It does, doesn't it? Yeah, I mean, because we're so used to 16:9, but it wasn't that long ago that all our monitors were 4:3.
Right.
So, you know, this is the AOC.
Is this the next thing?
It could possibly be.
It's wide. How wide is it?
This is a 29-inch with an IPS screen, multiple inputs, and I had a good chance to take a look and show you what I found.
Let's take a look at that.
Maybe you have a big monitor. Maybe you have a widescreen monitor. Maybe you have a lot of monitors. But do you have a big widescreen monitor with enough screen real estate to make all the rest of your monitors look puny? That's about the size of the AOC Q2963PM ultra-wide display, an entry in the growing field of monitors that break away from the conventional 16:9 aspect ratio. The AOC Q2963PM houses an impressive 29-inch IPS panel that supports 2560x1080 resolution. For those playing along at home, that's WFHD, a 21:9 aspect ratio, really close to the ratio used in movie theaters. AOC claims that the 21:9 aspect ratio of the Q2963PM allows users to watch movies in their true movie format, without black bars bracketing the picture. That's kind of cool, but saying the Q2963PM is a mouthful, so I'm just going to call it Sir Screen-A-Lot. Though not the thinnest or lightest display we've seen, Sir Screen-A-Lot features a narrow bezel in a cabinet that has aluminum trim, a no-smudge matte finish, detachable weighted base, simple control buttons, 3-watt stereo speakers, 40 degrees of tilt, and a hidden VESA mount. AOC packed the monitor with plenty of input options, VGA, dual DVI, HDMI, and DisplayPort, in addition to the standard audio in and out. Sir Screen-A-Lot also features a DisplayPort output, which means that you can daisy-chain multiple DisplayPort monitors. Finally, the unit supports MHL, which means that you can plug your MHL-enabled device directly into the monitor, and not only will it display, but the monitor will charge your device. In use, I found Sir Screen-A-Lot to be a fantastic monitor. The 5-millisecond response time made it suitable for gaming, while the 21:9 ratio is a natural fit for video editing, movie watching, or really wide spreadsheets. The IPS panel offers impressive color reproduction and excellent image quality, with a 178-degree viewing angle from left to right. AOC used the plethora of inputs to great effect by building picture-in-picture and picture-by-picture modes into the monitor. allowing you to drop a second input either within the full frame or divide the full frame into equally sized screens. Overall, I found SurScreen Unlocked to be a fast, clear, accurate display loaded with every port you could ask for and packed with the features that most geeks crave. I did notice significant color shifting when viewing from the top or bottom of the screen, and the plastic bezel is sometimes comically weak, but the list of features and the price of this ultra-wide monitor is probably going to be attractive to the content creator or gamer who wants a little more out of their displays. The AOC Q2963PM is available now with a 3-year warranty. You can find it online for about $400.
That's a good price. AOC, I have one of their USB monitors. Right. They're known as a low price.
They're low price, vendor. Typically lower quality.
Right.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I showed you this on the review. The bezel is actually pulling off. That's not.
But what
good.
About the panel? Is
the
this
panel is
good?
Great. Okay. So I mean, they must have gotten this as an LG or a Samsung panel because it actually looks really good. It's IPS. It's got a great viewing angle. Top to bottom, not great, but side to side, which is the important one, it's actually quite good.
This is 21:9.
21:9.
Which is true CinemaScope.
Right.
So that's great for movies.
Right. So I've got the side by side. This is not great. But if you actually have an HD source.
It's like 2 4x3s next to each other.
Precisely.
Right.
Yeah. Right. So, I mean, if you actually had your movie in cinema format, it would fill out the full screen.
So I use two monitors, but you've got the bezels in between. This might be kind of a good solution for somebody who wants to use two monitors, but doesn't want a bezel in between. So let's get the pros and cons.
Okay, so the pros is the big screen, and people who do like video editing, they're gonna love this. Nice to be able to have your entire project on screen and just be able to work on it without scrolling back and forth.
Right.
The other pro would be that you have a lot of inputs. You know, you've got HDMI, you've got MHL, you've got dual DVI, you've got VGA, you've got DisplayPort pass-through. They really loaded this thing up with inputs. And then there's the IPS screen. It's bright, it's beautiful, it's got a great viewing angle. It's actually pretty dang crystal clear. On
negatives.
The con side, it's the build.
Right.
I mean, the build quality is not great.
Right.
AOC does give you a 3-year warranty, but AOC hasn't been known to give you the best service.
Right.
But I mean,
they're Chinese.
They're actually located in Fremont, California.
They're Fremont.
They're in Fremont,
all right,
California.
Well, at least we can drive down and bug them. Okay.
Right. And then there's the weird aspect ratio. I mean, if you're not a video editor and if you don't have a lot of movies in that format, it's going to look weird.
29 inches, ultra wide. Bizarre, and yet I think for some people this is, especially if you stack two of them.
Exactly. So what I would say is, if you're really into movies or really into video editing, this is an absolute buy.
Right.
If not, try it. It's going to be weird, but I bet once you have it, you're going to like it.
I could see a video editor having this and then a regular 4:3 monitor or a 16:9 monitor to preview video.
Exactly.
This would be a pretty nice setup. Thank you, Robert Ballister, the host of This Week in Enterprise Tech. Coding 101 coming soon to a television set near you. And, of course, our Know-How show. What are you doing this week on Know-How?
I believe this week we're talking all about green screens and Adobe Premiere. We want to teach them how to make their own content.
I'm getting my big camera. Do you take pictures? Do you like pictures? You like photography, Robert?
I do. And I have a big hunger, so I do need a big camera.
So this is the 5D Mark II. This is, you know, kind of one of several traditional, you know, pro cameras.
It's a howitzer of cameras.
Yeah, full frame sensor, big lenses because of that, and it weighs, you know, a good number of pounds. I decided to eschew that when I went to Europe and to use a little Micro Four Thirds camera that I really fell in love with. This is the Olympus OMD EM5. This is what I took with me when I went to Italy and Turkey, and I got really wonderful images with this. What's nice is it harkens back to an earlier Olympus camera. You might remember the OM-1 film camera. Really looks a lot like this. It was fun to hold, fun to use. And when you compare the OMD EM5 with the 5D, you really see how much I save. And by the way, these are comparable lenses, but because it's a Micro Four Thirds sensor, the smaller lens also makes the whole kit a lot lighter. You can carry your whole camera kit in a small backpack. Well, Olympus has followed up on the OMD EM5 with a new Micro Four Thirds camera. This is it. This is the OMD EM1. So don't be confused by the numbering scheme. They are going backwards of the numbering scheme. But this is probably in response to people's some of people's input on the EM5. Lots more knobs, which pros like. Pros want to be able to keep their eye on the sensor and fiddle with the knobs to get what they want. And there are buttons to do everything. Lots of extra programmable function buttons. There's an HDR button that'll give you a choice of four different HDR settings. There's buttons, of course, for direct shooting film. I like that. Movies, rather. I like the film. I like that a lot. There is a camera hot shoe, and it comes with a small little flash that'll use the camera's battery, but it also has a full flash control and a full microphone jack on the side, so you can use high quality microphones on this camera. It has built-in stereo microphones, 1080p video shooting, lots and lots of functionality. Let's talk about what's different between the EM5 and its successor, the EM1. Price is the same, about $1,400, although I should mention through the end of the month, Olympus is taking $200 off this EM1. They're pushing it, it's on sale. So this might be a good time if you're interested in Micro Four Thirds. The advantage of Micro Four Thirds, I should mention, is interchangeable lenses. You can get Olympus lenses, but there are many other companies that make Micro Four Thirds lenses. So there's a very wide range of selections. One of the things Olympus did with the EM1 that I like a lot, there are two focusing styles. There's the fast Micro Four Thirds phase focusing, but it also has contrast focusing built in. That's if you want to use older Four Thirds lenses. And in some cases, with continuous focus, you'll be able to use both. That's great. Very fast focusing on Micro Four Thirds, except in low light, where it is notoriously bad. I found that the same thing here. But great lens choices. This camera has built-in Wi-Fi, which is really cool. You can pair it. I won't show it right now, but I paired it to my iPhone. You can pair it to an Android phone. Olympus has applications, also an iPad, which means you can remote control the camera, but also pull images off and edit them. The other thing Olympus has done is they've really improved the electronic viewfinder, or EVF. You know, these are SLRs, but they're mirrorless. There's no mirror. There's no prism. That's the sensor right there. And so in order for, unlike a traditional SLR, which has a mirror and you're looking through the viewfinder through the lens, this uses a video tap that's an electronic viewfinder. They've much improved the EVF in this thing. Is really good. 2 megapixels, very high resolution, very good color accuracy. You can zoom in with the electronic viewfinder. You get lots of information, histograms and stuff. So, while optically it doesn't feel as live, perhaps, as a true optical mirrored camera, I have to say, EVFs can do so much more once you get used to them. I think you're going to like it. And the fact that this is so compact gives you such great image quality. It has a lot of the other features that I liked about the OM1, the tiltable viewfinder. That means it was really easy for me to shoot pictures up over my head in crowds. Or if you want to go in stealth mode, you can operate this like a Rolleiflex and hold it at your waist and still see the viewfinder. I found that great for taking street photography shots of people without letting them know I was shooting them. I am a big fan of the EM5, and I like the EM1 an awful lot. I think they've done a lot to improve it. I like the fact that I don't have to take my eyes off the viewfinder. I can just twiddle these knobs and change the settings. So let me give you the pros and cons. Lots more improved features, a much better electronic viewfinder. I like the fact that it has so many programmable buttons, including, they have in-camera time-lapse, in-camera HDR. A lot of the specialty stuff people like to do is in here. They've improved the lens correction, so much better JPEGs come out of this. Of course, you can always shoot RAW as well. And they do have in-camera RAW conversion, too, and they've improved that quality. I love the retractable, or whatever you call this, the pivotable viewfinder. This viewfinder is really crisp, very clear, 3-inch viewfinder. On the cons, it can be a little bit challenging. You're going to have to spend some time learning this camera. Look at all those knobs and dials, and that's just the front of the camera. There's a lot to learn, but once your fingers and brain learn how to manipulate it, I think you're going to be able to work with it very quickly. I'm not crazy about where the on-off switch has been moved. However, again, once you get used to it, it probably will be just fine. And, of course, it's expensive for a fairly small sensor. Micro Four Thirds is smaller than APS-C. It's smaller than full frame. It's a little bit bigger than a point-and-shoot or a 1-inch one-inch sensor. But still, you lose a little bit of the bokeh, a little bit of the depth of field that you would get on a on a bigger sensor. On the pro side, of course, this is a 45 millimeter lens. That's effectively 2x because of the smaller sensor. So this small lens is actually a 90 millimeter lens when I'm shooting. This 75 millimeter lens is effectively 150. So you get smaller lenses, which give you a lot more capability. I'm going to definitely give this a buy, especially since right now Olympus has cut $200 off the price of it. They are still going to sell the EM5. It's a little simpler, a little easier to use. But if you have the choice and you're willing to put some energy into it, I'd have to say the EM1 is the one to choose. One other big difference, you can see it on the grip here on the side. The little nubby grip has been replaced with a serious pro grip that makes it a lot easier to hold the camera and a lot easier to shoot. This is a great camera. Great images. The only thing that's going to be better is a 5D Mark II or maybe a Sony A7 or NEX 6 or 7. But if at this price point, I don't think there's anything out there. And the range of lenses means it is ultimately flexible. A definite buy on the Olympus OMD EM1. Father Robert Ballester, thank you so much for being here with your really wide screen.
Sir Screen a Lot.
Sir Screen a Lot. Is that what you're calling
it? That's what this is.
Every screen has to have a name. We thank also our other reviewers, Radford Castro, Shannon Morse, our producer. Who else reviewed? Tony Wang. And who? Patrick, how could I have forgotten Patrick Delahanty? Thanks to all of you for watching. We do Before You Buy every Tuesday right after the Giz. Was this about 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern time? If you'd like to join us live, we'd love to have you. And you can also watch after the fact. A couple of different ways to watch. We make on-demand versions of the entire show available at our website, twit.tv/BYB. And we also have YouTube video versions of each individual review, so you can share them with friends at youtube.com/beforeyoubuy. If you have ideas for products you'd like us to review, you can email us byb@twit.tv. Next week, it's the best of Before You Buy. We've taken some of our best reviews picked by you and put it together for our Christmas Eve episode. The following week, it's New Year's Eve, and we will be live in studio. Ooh. 24 hours of New Year's Eve. We're going to celebrate every hour at the top of the hour with a little Skype call to somewhere in the world. And we will do all our shows, including Before You Buy. Will you be here for our New Year's party?
I will be here.
I hope you will, too. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time. Remember, you got to watch Before You Buy. Take care, everybody.